Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. This month, the Second General Assembly of the Synod of Bishops for Africa took up much of our time here at Vatican Radio. But while most of the over 200 bishops who attended have now flown back to their nations, Africa is still in our hearts and minds. Yes, Africa has left its mark, in our memories, but also in our recordings. I thought we'd begin today by listening to one of these recordings, a witness to the faith of one Sudanese bishop, whom I believe has now returned home, home to a nation where there is persecution of Christians. He's the auxiliary bishop of Khartoum, Daniel Marco Kur Adwok. How do you reconcile this violence there is in your country with the existence of God? Is God in Sudan?
Oh yes, there is God in Sudan. Oh, there is God, there is God. 23 years of civil war. We have walked with our people. We have walked with our people. They have known through the different Eucharistic celebrations in public squares. They knew that we spiritual leaders, we bishops, we were powerless. And they knew that the only strength that can keep them going and continuing to witness their Christian faith was the strength in God, in their faith. It came out very, very, very strongly. In the Christians who were there, who are now in the Sudan. Their faith in God keeps them alive. And you get that from the very, very marginalized, very poor people who maybe today will not have anything to eat at home, but neither will he go or she go and sell her faith away because she slept angry. So I think it is from there that we begin our journey to search for justice in our country. It is from our faith. We will not abandon it.
There is a church in Sudan.
There is a church in Sudan, yeah. It's a poor church, but it is a church that is alive. The servant of God, Pope John Paul II, told the Cardinal Zubair, who is the Archbishop of Khartoum, when he climbed a high place to view the people who came to meet him in 1993, he told Cardinal Zubair, he said, "Look, I thought these people would be afraid and hiding, but these people, they frighten you." You see, and then he said, "Yes, I mean, these people, they really do frighten. I mean, they have faith.
They frighten you in a good sense.
They frighten you in a good sense. I mean, you really feel that they are not afraid of anything. They profess their faith and openly and without looking even behind that there is any danger at all."
You were listening there to the Auxiliary Bishop of Khartoum, Daniel Marco Kur Adwok, the tallest bishop at the synod as far as I could see, who introduced me to another fellow bishop from his nation, one to witness persecution of Christians in a special way in his diocese, the Diocese of Tombura Yambio in southern Sudan. His name is Edward Hiboro Kusala, and in August, among the ongoing violence, he witnessed the crucifixion of Christians. I thought I'd ask him, given his personal experience, what kind of relevance the Synod discussions focusing around reconciliation, justice and peace could possibly have for him at all.
Yeah, this Synod to me has been a moment of reflection, a self-conversion and moment of coming to terms with the realities in which I live. I come from a country that has a long history of violence, and me personally lost my mom when I was just 2 months old in the same violence. So she was murdered. She was murdered by military people. So I have taken upon myself many years before interest of resolving and working for peace. So this synod has been an opportunity for me as such to re-examine my attitude towards promotion of peace, and knowing the fact that I have to come to terms really with what I have lived through, the pain, the suffering, the despair. I've worked with that, I've lived with that, and I have to accept it. The topic is difficult. Reconciliation is not a simple thing, it's a process. And the real issue is it needs a space. It needs a place where one can be able to come to terms with himself or herself in order to say, yes, this is my story, things have gone wrong, things have spoiled, but I still can make a new step. And looking at the same way, this the same for me and for any other Africans, we look at our history, how much we have been humiliated by history, by many things, but we still see this is not the end. There's still a victory. We look at Christ on the cross. He did not remain on the cross. Behind the cross, there is victory, there is joy. So this is a moment for us to convert ourselves and be able to walk out of what has happened in our history and be able to work for betterment of the country, of the continent from which we come. And I think we are also challenged to take it seriously as a part of our apostolate, this work for peace. Because we indeed become the children of God. We need to take it as our daily pastoral work wherever we are. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's what actually I've been trying to do, to spread the spirit of reconciliation and putting in place justice and peace. The real difficulty with this is we are going to work with people who do not understand this language, who do not even believe that what they are doing is just their duty. There's nothing wrong with it. Who will not even be able to listen to us or to me, who will not see me as an equal, who don't see that talking about a reconciliation with someone who's different, maybe from a different religion, different ethnic group, he is a minor person, he's just a lower person. I can't equal up talking to such a person. This is the challenge we are going to find. But of course, it is a duty that we must work to build peace in Sudan. And that's a work we have to take as a church, we take as people of Sudan, to work to build a reconciliation in our country. And the other thing, of course, is also to advocate on our behalf with people of other communities, the Friends of Africa, the Europeans, the Arabs, the Asians. We need to capture what can bring peace in Africa. We need respect for ourselves as Africans by promoting good governance and respect for common good and for human life. We also to expect that from our brothers and sisters. Some of them humiliated us so much in the past. I think it's a moment also for them to convert and be able to help Africa and to work together with Africa to come out of this poverty in which we are living and the conflict that is going on. Because at a certain point, when you look at the conflicts going on within our countries and in our continent, you see the string going all the way out of the continent. There are people who like to sponsor those things, who like to benefit while we are all in confusion. And this is also, this synod has helped us to pass this message to them, and also asking our Christian brothers who believe in the value of human life to insist with their government to respect Africa and be able to have system that can promote this continent so that we live together. I belong to human family, human tribe, and that's what I see for everybody. So I think the future is not desperate. What has been very interesting is that our stories are the same, and I see a lot of strong will to make things work. It's a moment that we need to get in dialogue with ourselves at home. We need to talk to ourselves as Africans. We need to talk to our leaders. We need to talk to those who are in charge to see that we get rid of these problems in Africa. It has been a moment of conversion. We need God in our history. We need to put Christ in our history, in the midst of our own working conditions, so that the world can be purified, the world can be brought to perfection and peace can be stable in our midst, and we indeed can be called children of God. And that's what we really need to make ourselves salty. We have lost our saltiness, and then we need to reinforce it to be salty and be the true light of the world.
And my thanks there go to the Bishop of Tombura Yambio in southern Sudan, Edward Hiboro Kusala. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.